What a study we've been having, and a series that we've been having in the book of James in chapter 1. All the verses so far have just been packed full of information and full of good learning and good teaching, and we need to apply those things because those things are great truths that come to us from God's holy word. For instance, before we started, some of you may not have known a whole lot about James, and there are more than one James in the Bible, and this is one particular James who just happens to be the half-brother of none other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And so we learned about James, we learned who he was, and we learned where he had been, and we know that he had been lost and undone. He was not a Christian for a long time. He didn't believe that his half-brother was the Messiah. But we also learned that that all changed one day, and he got saved by God's grace. And when he did, his life turned around, and he became something that he then was, and that was an ambassador for Christ. And we also learned that in this life, there's going to be trials and tests that come along in your life. But we also know that through the tests, we can make it. Amen? Through the tests, because God is with us from the beginning all the way to the end. And as we are in that test and we come out the other side, we've gained some things that we want, that God wants us to have. First of all, we get stronger from the tests that we go through and the trials that we go through. Another thing that we come out with is more patience. We get patient in our trials, which also gives us something called endurance. We're like a runner. We have to have endurance and strength to make it through. Friends, when we go through these trials, God needs us to know that we need some wisdom and common sense to get through these things. And we know that God is going to give us those things. How are we going to get it? By asking him for it. All we need to do is just ask God. And God says that he'll give you these things mentioned. Faith. He gives you more faith. You're going to have a lot of faith to get through these trials and through these tests. And he gives us the strength we need, the patience we need, the wisdom we need. And friends, when we get those things, we got to believe that he's going to do it. Amen. He says, believe and don't waver. Don't be like someone that's tossed to and fro on the sea of life, but just believe that he's going to give it to you. And I believe that God will, don't you? And when he does, I want to tell you, God can and God will and God does want you to have them, number one. But secondly, God can, will, and does in his own time deliver you and me and all of us from the trial. From the test, amen? He's going to get you through this test. James says for us to ask for the things of God and don't waver in asking for them. You see, God has a vast supply in his storehouse of love that he wants you to have, and he wants to give it to you. He wants you to take it. And these things, as the Bible says, are the things that are according to his riches in glory. All those things are yours and mine. If we believe and don't waver, God will give you those things according to his riches in glory. Now, James also tells us that we aren't to be as someone who, as I've mentioned before, is tossed to and fro on the sea of life and driven by the wind, tossed about, wavering all over the place with doubt and with fear and with worry. God says, don't be like that. In fact, James even went so far as to say in verse 7, he says, let not that man, that kind of a doubting person, think he shall receive anything from the Lord. So we need to get those attitudes like that out. Because if we have the attitude that he can't, well, number one, he won't. And number two, friend, you will never have the faith that you need, and you shouldn't even think that you should receive anything of the Lord, is what James is saying. James has the tendency just to say it like it is. He kind of reminds me a whole lot of myself sometimes. Just say it the way that the Bible says it. Amen. Don't water it down. Just tell it like it is. I heard Alistair Begg preaching a sermon just yesterday. I was listening to Alistair Begg, and he is the great Scottish Reform pastor that moved from Scotland, and now he preaches here in the United States. And he was talking about something very similar to this subject in his sermon that I listened to. And he said, someone once said that God said it, I believe it, and that's it. And he said, well, that's all well and good, but he said, really, it's not correct. And I was wondering where he was going to go with this. He said, you can just take that middle part out. He said, it doesn't matter if you believe it or not, because God said it, and that's it. There's no other question about it. So I'm not telling you not to believe. I think we need to believe, and James is telling us that. But I thought that was a very great example. We need to know that God said it in His Word, and we need to believe it, of course, but that's it. God said it, and that's it. God's Word's infallible. And I'm just thankful for His Word today, aren't you? And I'm thankful that James just says it like it is and doesn't waver around, isn't tossed to and fro on the sea of life, letting the wind blow him where it may. Friend, he's solid as a rock. Amen? And I'm thankful for that. James chapter 1, verse 12. James 1 and verse 12. By the way, if you're not coming on Wednesday night, we're studying the Beatitudes. And James gives us a beatitude here in verse 12. He said, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. And so we have a beatitude. A beatitude's something that tells us that we're blessed, and we need to be thankful for the blessed. But he also says that since we're blessed, that we're going to get a gift. Now, I don't know any of us in here in this place that doesn't like to get a gift. I got one this morning, and it was really neat. But listen, if you're blessed, God's going to give you a gift. And it's not going to be a chance that He gives it to you. He also promises that He's going to give it to you. God does these things without wavering. He does these things because He loves you with all of His heart. He loves you. He wants you to have these things that He gives us. But if you love Him back, and if you stay in the trial, if you trust Him all the way through, and come out the other side, and you continue to do that, and you grow in your strength, and you grow in your faith, and you grow in your wisdom, and you love the Lord through the whole thing, He's going to give you a reward for that called the crown of life. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we ask God that You'd bless us today, bless us through this portion of Your holy word, and also, Father, we thank You for the blessing that we have received through the teaching that You give us through this great epistle, the epistle of James, and we give You praise in Jesus. Amen. Friends, trials, temptations, tests are synonymous with each other. They really are. You can just interchange those. They mean the same thing to those that are saved. One way that God develops a Christian in your walk and in your life to have this dynamic faith is through these tests and through the trials and through these tribulations that we may go through in this life, that we will go through in this life. These are ways He enables us, a believer, someone that's born again, enables a believer to grow and develop in the faith and the strength and the patience and the wisdom that you and me and all of us need in order to get through this life. And then on to the next life, Friends, we're being prepared. We're going to be out of here one of these days, and we're going to go be with the Lord. And then he says, when we get there, he says something else. He's got something else in mind for us. It's a futuristic thing. It's not going to happen necessarily right now. But if we remain steady, if we remain strong in the faith and have stood the test of time, the future holds this reward for us, this crown of life. And it's not the only crown that's available, but this is the way we receive this crown. You see, friends, tests and trials and tribulations have the tendency, especially in those who are not born again, in those who are lost and undone, they have the tendency to cause some things. They have the tendency to be a catastrophic event. It's a tendency to have a bad attitude. It's got the tendency to create unwholesomeness and pessimistic attitudes in people that are not in Christ. It has the tendency to cause hopelessness. But James is teaching us that we need to have hope. Amen? And justifiably so. How can, if you stop and think about it, how can the news of having some dread disease be something that we can embrace? How can losing one of your children be something that you can embrace? How can tragedy be something that we can embrace? How can the loss of our job, the loss of our livelihood, be something that we can embrace? How can that produce anything other than a bad attitude, right? Can God blame humankind for asking why? Can he really blame us for that? Because some of the tests are pretty hard, amen? Some of them are hard to get through. Some of them are hard to take. I remember when I was at Liberty Bible College that my professor's name was Harold Wilmington, and he's a great teacher, great man of God. And he gave us two tests in every class. There were two tests that we took. The first test was a midterm, and it was open book. I like that test, amen? You get to get your little test sheet, and you get to open the Bible, you get to open your textbook, and you take that test, and guess what? You usually make an A on it. There's no reason why you shouldn't, because you got the answers right in front of you. But then you'd go on in the class, and you'd get toward the end of the class, and it'd come time for the final test, which was not open book. And that test was hard. Those tests were very difficult. In fact, this was a distance study program that I was in, and I had a proctor, was what they were called, that had to watch you take the test and make sure that you didn't open your book. And my proctor is here this morning and sitting right here in front of me, and buddy, she was tough, I'm going to tell you right now. But that final test was hard. And the same is true with this life in which we live. It gets hard sometimes. These tests are very difficult. But listen to me very closely. If you are a born-again child of God, a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you can have full confidence, total confidence, that God is testing you for a reason. It's not just for the sake of testing you. There's a reason behind it. He has great purpose in what he's doing in your life. But the lost person, the person that has no spiritual foundation whatsoever, the person who is atheistic or agnostic at best, which is not good, but that kind of person that's lost and undone, the lost man of this world, when he has these tribulations, these trials, and these tests come into his life, he will undoubtedly sink beneath the waves of the sea of life and not come out of these tests unscathed. In fact, I think that he will drown in the water beneath these tests. Drown in the waves of adversity that comes his or her way. You see, for the lost, life, even at its best, has to be pessimistic. For the lost, life at its best is a proposition. It's not a guarantee. Life at its best for the lost, friends, is not a very good thing in their minds, because they are so pessimistic and they so much need the Lord that they don't even know that they need the Lord. These people are so pessimistic because they're lost and undone. They have no hope. How many pessimists are there in the world? How many cynics are there really alive and well on planet Earth? How many are filled with all kinds of pessimism, bitterness, anger, malice, you name it? We're seeing some of the most heinous crimes take place in our day. And we think that we can come to church and be safe, and we know that there have been some heinous crimes committed even upon churches and people that go to church. And if that's not bad enough, these crimes that are being committed, this evil that's taking place in the world today, aren't being committed on to other people that are lost necessarily. They're not being committed on those that are criminals. They're being committed on innocent people, on children, and on the elderly, and on women, and people that are not strong and able to defend themselves. That's where we're seeing so much evil take place. So many heinous crimes take place in the world in which we live right now. And you have to ask, what's the deal? What's going on? Friends, this world is in trouble. That's what's going on. We know that mental illness is running rampant throughout the entire globe, in all ages, not just in a certain demographic. Friends, every age suffers with this. Teenagers and hundreds of others and thousands of young people are just kind of dropping out and giving up on the race of life. People are drowning in pain and lostness because of alcohol abuse and drug abuse and other abusive things that take control of their entire being. Why is this happening? Well, friends, it's because they have no purpose. They've given up all hope. They have no goal in life. Friends, when faith is tested and there's nothing there but the darkness of a lost heart, when those waves come crashing down, there's nothing there to send that person through the storm and into the calm waters. But a child of God, someone who's born again, knows that this is not the end. It may be a pretty gloomy situation, but it's not over until God says it's over. And when that storm passes, when it's over and the sea calms down, then what? A crown of life, that's what the Lord has promised it to all who endure the tests of life and those who love Him through it all. This crown, this reward, will be worth it all to us. Because as the psalmist wrote, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Have you noticed that Christian people who've suffered a lot in their life and have been brought through so many tests and so many trials and so much tribulation in their life, have you noticed that those folks seem to have a closer relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ than some that have just sort of floated along? Have you noticed that they just have this intimate relationship, just as if Jesus is standing right next to them all the time? I'm going to tell you this morning, he is right next to you all the time. An author, I don't know the name of the author, wrote this poem. It says, "Is there no other way open, God, except through sorrow, pain, and loss, to stamp Christ's likeness on my soul? No other way except the cross. And then a voice stills all my soul as it stills the waves of Galilee. Canst thou not bear the furnace heat? In midst the flames I walk with thee. I bore the cross. I know its weight. I drank the cup I hold for thee. Canst thou not follow where I lead? I'll give thee strength. Lean hard on me." Isn't that great? That's a wonderful poem. You see, friends, suffering brings an individual into a more loving relationship with Jesus. And it causes him, or it causes her, to look forward to that day when it all will be brought to an end and they'll come into the presence of the Lord in heaven, who is going to give them this gift, this reward, this crown of life. Now, I don't know what it's going to look like, but somehow I've got a feeling that it's going to be far greater than anything that we've held dear to our hearts here on this planet. And when we get there and we receive this crown of life, then we can say, oh, happy day when Jesus washed my sins away and gave me this crown of life forever and ever, for all eternity. Christian friend, the Lord Jesus has a reward for you. And for all those who will endure trials and tests and temptations while down here for a little while. James said, he, that's the enduring person, shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to all of them that love him. Friend, the testing God gives you will either do one of two things. It's either going to drive you to him, or it's going to drive you away from him. It would be real easy to become bitter over the tests, over the trial, over the tribulation, over the things that God uses or wants to use to help you grow and develop into what other religions have no idea what we're talking about today. And that is into a personal relationship with your Lord. Other religions don't get that. Other religions don't offer it. Other religions can't have it. But bless God, we can. Through the Lord Jesus Christ, we can have that. Friend, it's this personal relationship with Christ that keeps us going through the trial and through the tribulation and through the test. We can expect these tests. We can expect these trials. We can expect them to come in our life. But I'll tell you something else we can do. We can expect them to end. Amen. Because they will. And when they do, and you go back, go to heaven and receive your just reward, one of those rewards will be a crown of life. And when you receive it, friend, you'll experience something like you've never experienced before. And I believe with all of my heart that it's going to be fashioned just for you. It's going to be made custom made. Amen. I believe that the great designer, the Lord Jesus Christ, is designing your crown of life just for you, like nobody else's. How can you be sure that you are in the number that is going to receive a crown of life? That's a good question. I'm not so sure you can. I don't think anybody's going to know for sure they're going to get it till they get there. So I don't guess you can, but one thing's for sure. You sure don't have to worry about anything when you get there because you're going to be taken care of. And there's something else. You won't be in that number if you don't get saved. Nobody that's unsaved is in that number. You won't be in the number that's going to receive this if we stay stationary, if we do nothing. James certainly isn't the do nothing epistle writer, is he? In fact, he talks about good works. Friend, we can just do nothing. We've got to be about our Father's business. The most important thing is that you get saved, that you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior. And then this crown of life will be given to those who have let the rubber meet the road, who've put the shoe leather down and done some things for the Lord Jesus. If you can live for God while on this planet, my friend, that crown of life is for you someday, and that's something to really look forward to. A very famous preacher was speaking to his congregation one Sunday morning, and he told this story, and I quote, "When I think of the testings of life, I'm reminded of the deacon who got up in a testimony meeting in which the people were being asked to give their favorite verses of Scripture. The deacon got up and said, 'My favorite verse is, it came to pass.' The minister looked up in amazement, and all the people were puzzled. Finally, the pastor said, 'Brother, what do you mean your favorite verse is, it came to pass?' And the deacon said, 'When I have trouble and trials, I just go to the Lord and praise Him and say, thank you, Lord, that it came to pass, not to stay.'" Hallelujah. I'm thankful for that tonight. And what better way could we say it than that, right? I don't know a better way of putting it. Your trouble, your trial, hasn't come to stay. Friend, it's come to pass and be gone. Now, in closing, I just want to remind everyone that the Bible says someday you and I will stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. For the lost person, that'll be at the great white throne judgment at the very end of the millennial kingdom, at the millennial age, the great white throne judgment. If you're lost, you'll stand there. But if you're saved, you're going to stand before Him. You're going to stand before Him, but you're not going to be standing before Him in judgment for your sins. You're going to be standing before Him to see if the test has been passed. And if it has, you're going to receive this reward, this crown of life. And the church is going to be taken away and be raptured into heaven someday. And later, this judgment seat of Christ will come, and we'll see whether or not we'll get a reward. But there's something else we'll see too, whether or not we'll miss a reward, whether or not it'll be taken away and not withheld or lost. I can't help but go to the book of Daniel in closing. And I'm not going to read all this. If you want to read it, it's Daniel 3, 24 through 30. But notice I mentioned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to the kids a minute ago. Went to the fiery furnace. The heat in the furnace was so hot that the men that threw them in were incinerated and killed. And Nebuchadnezzar looked and was astonished when he rose up and checked out what was going on. And he saw the three men walking around in the fiery furnace. But he also saw another man walking in the fire with them. That fourth man is none other than the Lord Jesus, walking with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. And we know that, according to the scriptures, when they opened those doors and the three Hebrew children walked out without even the slightest smell of smoke on their body, without a single hair singed on their head. And I said that to say this, when the Lord Jesus saves someone, man, he really saves you. He completely saves you. And all I can say about that is, oh, what a Savior we have. My question for you today, are you saved? Do you know Jesus?